Welcome, everybody. This is the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're happy to be here, and we are happy to have you with us. I'm Tim Dennis. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hola, Tim.
And producer, Mo Mike Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
I am well, guys. How you doing this week?
Not bad.
Okay. It's been a week. This week has been a heck of a year, right?
That's right.
Something along those lines. Absolutely. Well, good deal, guys. You know, we've talked about this a lot. We've got into dry January. We've dabbled in NA beers and NA beverages and that. And, you know, breweries have always kind of turned their nose up at that. I mean, they're making beer. They don't want people to go dry. But I think this year it's even more important than in years past. And I saw some brewer friends discussing this. Going dry in January, it's tough on your neighborhood breweries and pubs and such. So Jeff Allworth, who runs the Beervana blog, he put an article up recently, and he said, instead of dry January, how about we make it pub January? And we go out and we support our neighborhood pubs. You know what? If you want to go dry, you can still do that. You know, go to your pub and have a meal. Go out with the friends, maybe, you know, just have some water. It's good for you. Hydration, have a good time there. Maybe you want to get an NA beer if that's available at your local pub. Try one of their mocktails or something like that. But the point being is, don't avoid your local pubs while you're going dry there, because they really need you right now. We had one of our local breweries here, Elsewhere Brewing, posted on Instagram earlier this week. And it was basically asking people not just to support them, but to support those small local businesses you love, you know, to support them, of course, but your other favorite breweries, your other favorite restaurants, your pubs and all that, even something, you know, if you need clothes or that, support local, especially for beer right now. We know hospitality industry as a whole is struggling. You know, we got in pandemic mode. And now we're all a bunch of hermits door dashing stuff to the house and, you know, buying beer like that. So anyhow, Jeff started it. It's made the rounds. A lot of people have talked about it, you know, from Beervana. A lot of folks have picked it up. I think Forbes even had an article talking about Pub January. So if you want to go dry, you can still do that. But go out and get you some fish and chips or something nice, you know, and just support your local pubs in that. Guys, what do you think of that? That's a nice compromise, right?
I think it's a good compromise, and I would take it another step. Obviously, they've got NA beers at a lot of these places. A lot of them do, anyway. Almost every place I've ever been to that has any sort of spirit selection has some form of mocktail. And the other thing is, if they have any kind of package to go, there now is big stout season. So buy some big stouts and save them for February. It's going to be cold in February. Like, you don't have to drink them right now. You can still support it. And then when you get done, you reward yourself by just completely destroying your liver with all those stouts you picked up. So just, it's a win-win for everyone.
Right. Mark down, like, when you want to drink a beer in January, mark that down. Don't drink it. And then just make up for all of it in February.
In, like, one day. Yeah.
Yeah. One day. Do not take our advice. It's terrible advice. It's not good for your health. But, yeah, you could. You, like you said, go out. You're still supporting them. You don't have to drink it right away. A stout is definitely going to keep for 2-3 weeks or whatever. So, yeah, good way to support them. And, you know, Brian, related to your comment about NA beers, there's some recent, I don't think brand new, but recent developments in NA brewing that makes it a lot more feasible for smaller breweries to offer non-alcoholic beers. So in the past, a brewery would have to invest in a lot of specialty equipment to get a non-alcoholic beer, you know, to remove the alcohol from it. Well, they have developed these yeasts that, without diving too much into the science, one, because I don't want to muddy the waters, two, because I wouldn't know what the heck I was talking about and would probably mess it up, but that they ferment very low alcohol. And the way they do that, when you make beer, when you mash your grains, you know, you soak them in hot, warm to hot water, you get short chain and long chain sugars. If you get these long chain sugars, they're harder to break down and they give you mouthfeel and that. But if you ferment to where you have shorter sugars, then this yeast can eat those. It can't eat the big boys. So you've got to make some adjustments for it. But the short of it is, a craft brewery can now do a non-alcohol or low alcohol beer by selecting a certain yeast, and by adjusting their recipe to accommodate for that yeast's abilities. And I believe White Labs is one that offers, I think it's WLP 618, which is their no low alcohol yeast. And they had a recipe on their website for an NA IPA, and it came in at 0.34% ABV per the recipe, which non-alcohol, as most of us know, if we've been following it, is below anything below 0.5% would be NA. So related to this, one of our local breweries that we've talked about a lot, Halfway Crooks, one of our favorite places, they have an NA beer coming out soon. So, you know, places that you may not have seen NA beers at before because it just wasn't feasible, it will be more available for them to do that type of thing.
I think this is going to be great. I'm looking forward to this year round. There are definitely times when I'm like, yeah, I don't need another beer right now, but I want another beer. And having the option of something that's that tastes like beer, that gives you the same enjoyment flavor wise and texture wise as beer would be ideal. And I want to say it was maybe Heineken that pioneered this whole yeast. I think they found a yeast in like Patagonia or something like that. I might be making this up. I remember going over a news story where they found a species of yeast that was able to ferment at low or no alcohol. And I want to say that they might be the guys that pioneered this process. But that's really cool that you can do that, because the reverse osmosis stuff and all the watering it down, none of it was quite beer. It all tastes just a little off, you know? It wasn't quite there. It was acceptable if you couldn't have beer, but it wasn't quite beer. And the newer stuff has been much, much closer.
See, anytime we talk about NA beer, we get the troublemakers and the naysayers who say things in the chat like, I'm confused why we're talking about NA beer. Well, Billy, we're talking about it because it gives us another option there to enjoy a beverage there. So, and you know what? In all honesty, there's a lot of reasons. Even people who drink beer, the guys that own Athletic Brewing, they're not totally alcohol free, but it's another option for health. You know, it's lower calorie. You can get hydrated after a race. You know, these got people that race, that run, can do that. I have had a friend who was pregnant and chose to go with some NA beer so she could have a beer and, you know, still avoid the alcohol there. So Billy, that is why we talk about these NA beers. Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. So, yeah, go out and support your pubs. Check out your local pub. Maybe they've got an NA for you now that you can check out.
And I got to point out that a lot of our local brew pubs have food that's good enough that I would go even if I weren't drinking. You know, your Wrecking Bars and that's just the one that came
to mind. Brickstore Pub, Wrecking
Bar. Brickstore Pub, yeah.
We have Argosy.
Yeah,
Argosy. Yeah. That is really good. We've got, you know, plenty of choices that you can go. Truck and Tap, our friends at Truck and Tap, you know, you can go out and support them. They have great food trucks there. So you can go support Truck and Tap. And if you choose to, you can go NA there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe they do have some NA cocktails there. I was looking just this week and I believe I did see some options there. They definitely have mixers, so they can come up with something interesting.
They can hook you up. Yeah. They can hook you up. Absolutely. Well, Brian, this is something I know that you're following this news excitedly.
Yeah.
Because I know that you think / hope / will it to be that cask ales are going to become more popular. But it sounds like the news out there, we love talking about what certain generations do to society, the economy, and all of that. So apparently the latest Gen Z doesn't like carbonation is the latest news.
Yeah. I think we'd heard about this a little bit before, and it seems really weird to me because everybody's how big seltzer was and has been. And we've heard about Gen Z has an aversion to carbonation. And 750 Daily is a beverage company, and they're predicting that a large group of consumers will be entering their, quote, bubble-free era in 2024. They are going with nothing but still beverages. And what this means for us, and I think they're all younger folks, what this means for us is we'll probably see a lot more flat-flavored alcohol waters, which has got to be the most boring thing I've ever heard of, and more hard teas. Hang on, did I say boring? Because I think what we're going to wind up with is beverage companies making Borg in a can, and that gets exciting to me again.
Now, so you haven't Borged in a while, Brian.
I haven't Borged in a while. I've all of those gallon jugs of water missing out on their potential to be Borg. But so Borg in a can. I think we're going to be seeing maybe not 10% or 20% or whatever those wound up being with all the booze they poured in them. But my big question, I see this and I think, is this Cask Ale's big moment? Could the lower carbonation of Cask Ale win over the tender, youthful palates of the world? And what do you guys think? Is there any chances of this happening? Say yes.
No.
Yes.
No. I've always liked you, Mike, Nate.
And I've always hated you, Tim. Nate, what generation are you part of?
I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial. Okay. So, you know, I just don't think so, Brian. I don't think it's ever going to catch on. It's something that they've tried for decades and decades. And, you know, I know you're a fan. I have enjoyed some. I wouldn't call myself a fan. But good timing to say that we will be at the Atlanta Cask Ale Tasting, a great Cask Ale Festival here in a couple weeks. And the guys from Hoppy Trails Pod mentioned that there is a Cask Ale. Let's see. I've lost the comment here. But they said Cask Ale Festival in South Carolina in a couple weeks. So nice. People are trying, but Brian, I believe this is like the 25th Atlanta Cask Ale Tasting, and bless Owen Ogletree's heart. He has done all he can to try and promote Cask Ales.
He converted now, me, though. He converted
Let's say, though, Owen's festival is a little controversial with the purists. Because they're not, you know, you do get stuff like people just taking a stout and throwing 47 Butterfinger bars in it, and it's delicious, but it wouldn't be what you consider a real ale or a cask ale. However, there are places that are offering, you know, real cask ale. But Brian, to loop back around to your question, no, I don't think Gen Z or the American beer drinker in general is going to buy into cask ale.
What if they started putting Cask Ale into 40-ounce Stanley mugs? Would that make a difference, do you think?
Yes, that would. Yeah.
Especially if they were limited edition Stanley mugs with special colors.
Fill your mug when you get there, your Stanley mug, and you'll be good to go. So,
but you know, they're just going to buy it. They're just buying it for the mug at that point. They're just going to dump that beer out.
Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Yeah, they're buying it, man. They're buying it. So I am slightly on board if they're 40 ounces. I feel that the opportunity for the Stanley mug to be the next great malt liquor vessel has not been yet fully realized.
No, I see a purpose to it now that I did not see before. I did not get the attraction, but if it really is cover for just portable malt liquor, then you know what? Maybe we're onto something here.
Could be. I saw some funny videos of people like mocking their wives and girls, because this is apparently it's popular with everybody, but especially with the ladies, you know, or really young girls as well. But guys were mocking it. Like one guy had a 5-gallon bucket that he stuck a straw in, and like his you know, he walks in. Another guy had one of those like water bottles that goes on top of the dispenser.
Oh, the dispenser bottle, the big 5-10-gallon thing.
5-gallon. Yeah. The 5-gallon things. But, so, Nate, what do you think, man? You said yes. So I need more info. Why do you think Cask Ale has some potential here?
I don't. Brian said to say yes, and I said yes.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's good enough reason.
That is good enough reason. Yeah.
No, I think Cask Ale is a niche style of beer that is just going to forever be a niche style. I don't really see it hitting the mainstream. You know, we're a little spoiled in Georgia having two, I don't remember the designation, but two like registered cask ale.
Cask mark, I believe cask it's mark, what
yes.
It's called.
We've got two of those in Georgia. So we're a little spoiled for that if you're a cask ale lover here in the Southeast. But in general, I just don't see cask ales really hitting the main stage ever.
Brian, do you have any reasons other than hope and dreams?
Well, I think that I'm seeing more and more availability of cask beer. So that means more opportunities for people to try the real thing. But we didn't have any real cask stuff for a long time until the Brick Store Pub had it, you know, the A-Cat occasionally. But if you wanted some, you really couldn't have the legit stuff. And more places are getting that in the U.S. And there's more of an interest in lighter and more traditional styles. So I see there's more availability of it, and if palates are moving away from harder carbonation towards softer beverages, this may be appreciated. It could be the two things could come together and become a bigger thing. It may never happen, but I would argue we're one TikTok video away from Cask Ale being just huge, like sea shanties. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Have their moment there. All right. All right. Well, good luck to you, Brian. Good luck to you and Cask Ale.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out. But Brian, we like to follow the beer laws as much as possible. New Jersey's been on our radar a lot this year, and we do have an update on New Jersey, but also a little something new that popped up, some interesting info out of Alaska.
That is correct. They have new regulations that are going into effect in Alaska. I think they were passed in 2022, so it took them a while to go into effect. But they bring the state into compliance with federal beer laws that date back to Prohibition. So they've been out of sync for a long time with the rest of the U.S. Until now, it was legal for a brewery to buy a tap system for a bar in return for exclusivity in that bar. Only their beers would be poured on tap. And that was it. I guess maybe cans in the fridge or something like that of somebody else's. But I've never heard of a place that in any other place in the U.S. that does that. Retail and liquor stores could get prizes incentives that require them to put certain products in refrigerators and prominent shelves. I've heard about stuff where people wind up going to court and getting fined over that sort of thing, but I had no idea this was legal anywhere. So these practices have understandably made it extremely hard for small breweries in Alaska to get any tap handles or have any chance of growing. And it has stifled craft beer growth in general in Alaska for a long time. And so this is changing. So there's the opportunity for some growth in craft beer in Alaska. So that may be the new hot ground for craft beer.
You know, I'm not a fan in general of the three-tier system. I think it has a lot more limitations than it does positives there. But this is something, you know, these tied houses, that just it just stifles competition. And like you said, it does eliminate these smaller breweries coming out and doing that. And
that's right.
You know, it's just something that there's ways outside of being able to just buy direct taps that people game the system. You know, there may be something. I heard a story one time of a bar that needed like a remodel. They needed to remodel their bar, and somehow they worked with a distributor that had a side company that wasn't the name of the distributor that somehow put like 15 grand into this account to cover the cost of this renovation in exchange for keeping primarily their beer on tap. I mean, you couldn't pull that here in Georgia with one brand, you know, one brewery, because they'd know something was up. But, you know, giving them preferential treatment is a different story. There's ways to play the system, but just to straight up have, hey, I'm going to buy you this tap system and you're going to carry my beer. They don't allow that. I didn't think anywhere, but I guess Alaska is the wilds out there.
It sounds like it was a formal legal agreement too.
Okay.
The way was just because it wasn't illegal. I think that they could seriously get penalized or taken to court if they didn't live up to the end of the bargain. So wasn't under the table at all. It was just something that was completely legal until
not illegal means it's technically legal.
Technically legal. Yes.
So they can do that. Brian, big news out of New Jersey this week. So we talked all through last year, little bits and pieces as we heard them coming across, but there is a bill heading to the governor's desk that would do away with many of these restrictions. Now, this is as of the recording of this show, it was on the way to the governor. It may get signed between the time that we record this and the time that it that you listen to it, but it's in the works one way or the other. It covers much of the same ground as it did before that they've talked about with the bill that was recently vetoed. It offers unlimited number of on-premise special events and private parties. Now, to clarify, playing the football game on a Sunday counted as an event in New Jersey. So, and they were limited on those before. A tap room can sell packaged snacks, so they still can't have a kitchen, but they can sell, you know, some chips or peanuts or whatever. And they're able to coordinate with food trucks to offer food on site. As we know, again, from talking to John Hall and Augie Carton in the past, they couldn't even a food truck could be there, but they couldn't advertise it. They couldn't say, hey, we've got a food truck here. You just had to go out, and if you were hungry, either get something before you got there or hope maybe a truck just happened to be you know, on site there. So in addition, a big thing that we talked about and the reason that we heard the governor vetoed it is that he wanted to change the way that liquor licenses worked in the state. And the information that we found had a very brief comment on this. They may be intentional at this time. You know, maybe they don't want to get things shook up, because the way it worked in the past, when you had a liquor license, you didn't necessarily have to have a business open. You could pay to renew that license and just hold on to it or sell it at a profit there. And it sounds like that there is some language in the bill to transfer inactive retail liquor licenses to new licensees. That's really all that we found out there. It does say they also may look at doing special licenses for eating and drinking establishments in shopping malls. So who knows about that? But the good thing is, hopefully this will get signed. It sounds like they worked in what the governor wanted. We can get this signed and breweries can, you know, sell you some peanuts and let you watch the game on Sunday or Saturday for you college football fans.
So. Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't put this through a second time unless they knew it was going to pass. I'm like, I can understand it, it being shot down the one time, them being surprised by it. But I would think, just politicians being the way they are, they're like, there's no way they're putting this through a second time and it not passing. So
and I think I don't remember the count here, Brian, but I think it was a unanimous vote on both sides with two.
It was.
Two abstentia,
something like that. Yeah,
but
they weren't there.
Everybody's behind this. So, you know, good luck, New Jersey. I hope that gets the signature that it needs.
I think they have until like the 15th or the 19th. I don't have the date in front of me of this month, or the governor does, to sign it. So I think there's a time limit on it, but it should be. We should know within the next couple of weeks.
Soon.
One way or the other. Yeah.
So very soon. Indeed. Well, guys, we're drinking beers right now, as we do. We're not dry
as we do this month.
We may dabble, but we're drinking some beers. So our beers of the week, guys, I've got right now, I'm drinking from our friends at Three Taverns, Beeps. Mm. It's just your good old drinking beer, kind of reminiscent of your dad beers from the 70s is what they were going for. So really, it's a good one. It's a good drinking beer there. And then on my next up on the list, I have from Liability Brewing Company, Mortal Wombat IPA. So ooh. I'm going to really enjoy checking that out. Nate, what are you sipping on?
So currently I've got my Pipeworks Abominable Snowman versus Unicorn, which is a hazy IPA with lactose and cryo hops. I pre-gamed with a little Parrish Ghost Prime. I had one can left over. Just wanted to get it while it was still good. That's a double New England IPA. And then to finish us off, in a week of and a day of IPAs, I've got Two Tides with a Citra and Idaho 7 juice. And it's an IPA using Idaho 7 and Citra experimental oils.
That sounds crazy. Pure madness over there. Brian, how about you?
I flipped the script this week. I went last week was all IPAs, and I think most of them were DIPAs and hazies. I am going mostly, a lot more lagers. It's not all lagers. I nearly went all lager, but I started off with a Bitburger Premium Pils. I am working on a Good Word No Tango Chavo, which is an island style lager, and I forget the specifics of that, but I do know I like it a good deal. And I'm going to finish up with Allagash's Day's End, which is a red ale. Inspired by the Boulevardier, I think that's how you say it, cocktail, which I think is the Negroni, but with bourbon instead of, what was the thing? Do you remember, Nate? What's the switch out for that?
For the Boulevardier?
Yeah.
It's rye whiskey.
Is it rye whiskey? Mm-hmm. Instead of, okay. It's rye okay, whiskey in place sure. Is it Campari or oh, is it?
No.
I think it's bourbon, isn't it?
It is. It's bourbon, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Okay. Okay. Instead bourbon of gin. Rye. Yeah. It's replacing the gin. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's what I'm doing
today. All right. That sounds good. I almost had a No Tango Chavo myself today, but I didn't, Brian. So you have to carry that one on. You know, y'all, as nice. We get into January, we're 10 days into the year already as we record this. Crazy talk. Absolutely crazy talk. But you know, we've talked about supporting those places that you love, man. And one of the places that we love is Terrapin Brewery Atlanta at Truist Park. You know, I tell you what, to support Terrapin, now they've got a unique setup there. They're partnered with Fox Brothers, but because of these liquor laws that we keep talking about, these are technically two different businesses. So to support Terrapin, you're going to have to buy a beer. You're going to have to go out and get a beer. You can support Fox Brothers as well by getting some barbecue, but go out there, check out their tap list. if you want to be somewhat good, what do they call it? Damp January, Brian, that some people like January. To do. Damp January.
Moist.
They're going to have moist, a little damp, a little moist. They're going to have some lower options for you there if you want to be a little better behaved. But they're guaranteed to have a good variety on tap for you there. So go check them out. Support them in January and all year round. You know, make sure when baseball season comes up, they're jammed there. So go now when you can get an in and out without a wait and get, you know, prime service there. So go support our friends at Terrapin Brewery, Atlanta.
And I already talked a little bit of what how you could work it out so you support Truck and Tap with their NA cocktails. But I'm going to focus on the stuff that I really like. It's that's stuff with booze in it. And I usually focus on beer and the food trucks when I talk about Truck and Tap. That's a tough one to get out. There are 20 taps at each location. There's fresh food from the food trucks that rotate. It's great. Every day you've got a new experience, new beers all the time. But in addition to the good food and great beer, Truck and Tap has spirits and special events for those spirits. For example, Woodstock and Lawrenceville locations feature Taco Tuesday specials every week, which include margaritas, tequilas, and something called Mexican candy shots. And I saw that the other day on Tuesday, and I was in the middle of work, and I'm like, man, I would really, really go for that. But it's something you definitely got to check out on a Tuesday. Truck and Tap Alpharetta has also been doing Old Forester Whiskey Row bourbon flights, which is very relevant to my interests. And it seems like they're always showing off their bourbon selection on social media, and I'm jealous. And speaking of the Alpharetta location, did you know they have a rooftop overproof rum bar facility feature there? It isn't open at the moment due to the weather, but I have it on good authority that they are in the process of updating it to make it a year-round feature. If right now isn't the right time for a Mai Tai, I don't know when is. So I'm looking forward to that being year-round Mai Tais. And of course, there are other events like live music and music bingo and trivia and karaoke. You can do all those things without actually drinking any alcohol at all. So there's your option right there. For the full scoop of what's going on at your local Truck and Tap, check out their website, truckandtap.com. And they have links to all their social media pages. So if you don't see it on the website, you can check out their specific social media site and see what events and what fun beverages they are pouring that week. And that
see day. What's up. Yeah. See what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what? Every Truck and Tap location has a Beer Guys Radio sign or reference somewhere in there. So if you go to Truck and Tap, you take a picture of the Beer Guys sign, post to the social media and tag us, we'll send you a swag pack.
Yeah,
we'll do that. We will do that. I think we got t-shirts. We've got t-shirts and stickers, I know. And I'll have to look and see what else we've got in the swag pack. We did at one time we had some sunglasses, some pins. We had some coasters.
Maybe
I don't know. There's really no telling what we have there. So, yeah. But yeah. Go take a pic of the Beer Guy sign, tag Truck and Tap and us. We'll send you a swag pack. So easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. Yes. So, Brian, mergers, acquisitions, breweries selling, breweries being bought, always some news on that front. A big one this week, Octopi Brewing, contract brewer, which is also the owner of Octopi, also owned Untitled Art Brewing.
Yep.
But Octopi is being acquired, correct?
That is correct. And as the guy that's the expert on mergers and acquisitions here at Beer Guys Radio, which wouldn't take very much, I will go into this. So the Japanese giant Asahi is buying Wisconsin-based contract brewer Octopi. Like Tim said, their main brand that you would know is Untitled Art, but they consider themselves a co-packer, and they brew a lot of beers and do a lot of consulting for a lot of different beverage brands. But anyway, so Asahi is buying them, and they're also investing a good amount of money to meet their technical requirements to produce their Asahi Super Dry. Apparently, the standards are very high for that, very particular, in that it's never been brewed in the U.S. because there's no facility that can do it. Right now, if you're drinking it in North America, you're getting it from Molson, Canada. They're also going to be producing a Czech beer called Kozel, which will be brewed at Octopi. I've never heard of it, but that'll be interesting to check out. So there are some really good reasons why Asahi chose Octopi. As of 2022, Octopi was the 13th largest regional brewery in the country by volume. Octopi invested a lot of money in diversifying their equipment and bringing on a lot of new brewing talent and just consulting talent that on a wide variety of different beverages. And like I said, they call themselves a co-packer, which means they do a lot more than just contract brewing. They consult on a lot of different topics around beverages. So Octopi has seen tremendous growth in recent years. They had a 443% growth in 2020, if you can believe it, 51% growth in 2021, and 38% growth in 2022. But the financial details of the whole transaction were not announced. I'm guessing there's a good amount of money that happened here. That's what I figured.
It sounds like it. 443% increase in 2020. That's interesting.
COVID time.
COVID. Yeah. Bring it on. So, yeah, I'm curious. I wonder where those 2023 numbers ended up, you know, because we kind of know how 2023 went.
Yeah, it's. I imagine there was a general decline, but it wasn't as sharp as I would have expected. I mean, for them to maintain the level of growth that they had, this is a credit to the owner who saw, I forget what year it was. He said 2018, 2019. He saw the writing on the wall. He says, "I've got to diversify. Craft beer is just not going where I want it to go. I'm going to have to get into like this co-packing thing. I'm going to have to get into making every kind of beverage I can to make sure I'm doing well." And it just so worked. And I had no idea that they were killing it the way they were. But
interesting.
I know Untitled Art makes really good NA beers too. So
they do. And their regular beers are pretty darn nice as well. Yeah. So definitely, you know, they do. And, you know, on the NA subject from the chat, Carlos said he's got a theme. He said, dry when I die, baby. Is Carlos's theme on that. So, you know, we support that, you know, if you want to go and just totally skip being dry, that's cool, man. That's cool. No problem at all. So Brian, we have got some beer drama this week.
And we've got some sound effects for it.
We
too.
Do. That's great. We do. The beer drama of the week, Brian, what's going on?
Yeah, so other half set the beer world ablaze with their new facility in Chicago. They opened up and their tap list had $16 pints was the exciting part of it. So a new tap room doesn't get as much attention as like really, really expensive pints. Almost all the beer on the IPA heavy tap list were $16, including the Lonely Lager that was on the list. I guess there was one or two on there.
There were
wasn't
a couple
the
that were $14. I think they had a Mexican lager that was $14. I went back to try and find all the info, and shout out to Afro Beer Chick on Twitter.
Yeah.
This is she had visited. She's in the area. And, you know, she was polite about it. I don't think she even mentioned the brewery by name, you know, initially. She's just like, y'all. $16 pints here. So, and it kind of, you know, the internet got a hold of it from there.
I do have to give her credit. I basically mined most of her, the responses in the discussion there, and also a Pace magazine article that also heavily mined her Twitter thread about this. But, one person that responded to her said that the pints were exactly double the price of Washington, D.C. They have a tap room there. So they're exact same beers, twice the price. And D.C. is a phenomenally expensive place, I understand. So if any place was going to have really expensive beer, it would be D.C. And there were other amusing things about it. The price per ounce was lower for 12-ounce pours than it was for 16-ounce pours, which is crazy. As well as pints being more expensive of beer than cocktails made with overproof bourbon. And it's more expensive to have a beer there than it would be at the nearby Guaranteed Rate Field where the White Sox play by like a dollar. So
I don't know why we've come to accept. Someone else said in the chain that was going on about this with other half, they're like, they're thinking that they're an airport or a ballpark. I'm like, why are we okay with that at an airport or a ballpark? Mm-hmm. Like we've just allowed it to happen. If we did the same thing if we quit buying beer and made an uproar about that, you know, actually they wouldn't care if we made an uproar. They would care if you just didn't buy it.
So. Yes. Yeah. And I got to say my initial reaction to seeing this before it was corrected and to the other half's credit, I got to say they were quick to respond to the criticisms and they made big adjustments to their beer prices. Afterwards, they made the adjustments and the most expensive price on a pint of beer was like $9, which is still a dollar more than DC, but it's a little bit more reasonable. As to why it was originally priced the way it was, I didn't see an official explanation, but there was a quote about them getting lost in the sauce when they ramped up to open, and then they got it sorted out. So the speculation is because they're connected to a music venue, they chose to use the music event prices. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. And somebody was pointing out that maybe the pint price was the venue price, but the 12-ounce price being cheaper was actually what they thought the bar price was going to be somehow. I don't know how that would have worked.
I don't see how you do pricing and print menus and put $16 on there and actually like, okay, yeah, run it. This is it. So, and again, like you mentioned, Brian, this was, I don't remember the name on the account, but they spoke as though they were representing other half. And he said, again, quote, "We got lost in the sauce as we ramped to open, but we got it sorted." So, you know, good, Brian, yeah. Good that they took care of that. And I'm going to believe that that was it, that it was just something that they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, okay, let's fix this. But man, if you can go from $16 down to $9, you know, what's the decrease there? Like,
it's like 50%,
80% or something. Yeah, 16, 8, 50. So and what, carry the one something. But anyhow, if you can knock that much off the price, it's not like you're a little out of line there. You know, so that's one thing I think I, you know, don't want to hate on them for doing that, because they did correct it. They did see the post and heard what people were saying, and they fixed it quickly there. So, but still, man, what's going on for you to put $16 for a pint on a menu and actually, you know, put that out there? Who was there nowhere along the chain that said, hey, y'all, this is $1 an ounce for beer?
Exactly. So, hold up. It's the first time I've seen prices go up a lot of times in my years of drinking. This is the first time I saw the price go up on a beer, and I seriously thought maybe I can't afford to drink beer anymore. Like that's how bad it is.
I'm going to take up vintage wines as it's more affordable. Yes,
if you could go out and still get you know, 10, 12, $15 bottles of wine, and like compared to the here's the thing, I don't like wine nearly as much, so it would take some adjustment. But
what's the $2 chuck of beer? Do we have one? Nate, any thoughts on that?
Hams.
I mean, Hams is like a domestic lager, yeah.
Jenny Cream,
it's probably. Jenny Red Eye.
All right, good stuff. Well, Brian, related to this story and talk about beer pricing and all that, we got the price of beer at some NFL stadiums here, and you know, as a rule of thumb, if you go out to a concert, a ball game, if you're on a flight, it's kind of a captive audience. You know, it's not like if you're at the airport, you can go a bunch of other places. And if you're at the airport, you got to have what's there. If you're at a concert, you're going to get a drink at the concert. It's not like you can pop over somewhere else if you want to see the concert. So a lot of times venues take advantage of that, but not all of them, Brian. So what's the scoop? Tell us a little bit on our NFL stadium pricing.
So what would you guess is the average price of a pint at an NFL stadium in as of 2023? That's what we have the data for.
And I have the notes here, but I'll be honest, Brian, I haven't looked yet. So this is going to be an honest guess on this. $12.
I was going to say, if I were just guessing, I would have guessed about $11, $12. Because I could swear I have gotten a beer at the old Brave Stadium for about $11 or $12, and I think it was a pint or maybe a little bit larger. I don't know. So the average price across all of the stadiums, and they do vary a good amount. Did you have a guess, Nate, or did you already look at it?
I mean, my guess for the average price is going to be $10.
About 10.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, you're pretty close. So the average price across all of them is $9.76. The most.
But expensive- Nate, you are over, so you don't win the showcase.
That's right. You do not. Yes, you've gone over. The most expensive beer in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles fans pay 96 cents per ounce for their beer. And if they were getting them in pints, that would be $15.36 a pint, nearly the price of other half when they first opened up. So in Chicago for a day. The second place is a tie for the most expensive, both in Los Angeles, the Rams and the Chargers, 92 cents an ounce or $14.72 a pint. So the cheapest beer in the NFL, what would you guess is the cheapest beer? Have you guys looked already?
No, but I've heard that Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in Atlanta is pretty user friendly. for food and beer. I haven't been to a game there. Haven't seen the Falcons play, but I've heard that they are one that's, and you know what? I'm going to say Kansas City would be another guess. I figure Kansas City's probably good to their people there. So,
okay. Well, you're right on one of them. So there is a 5-way tie for the cheapest per ounce price of a beer, $6.72 a pint for the New York Jets, the New York Giants, the Detroit Lions, Miami Dolphins, and the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. So we got a lot of people charging a very reasonable price for a sporting event beer. I always thought that part of the reason they were jacked up is partly the captive audience, but also partly because to try to keep people from drinking too many of them. I'm thinking if they were regularly priced beers,
do they not? I'm guessing they don't care about that at all. I bet that's not on their radar. They're there to make money, man. They got to pay those million dollar contracts to those boys on the field. So.
Now, there has to be a sliding equation of like how much can we pay to make money and when will we start losing money if we go above a certain point. And you know what? Yeah, I could see maybe the folks in Atlanta's like, nah, that's too expensive. I'm just gonna bootleg some stuff in.
Before Mercedes-Benz Stadium opened up, I think Arthur Blank actually made comments that he was gonna make this affordable for the fans to come out, that he wanted, fans to come out, and that you don't have to take out a second mortgage to take the family to a ball game, So, you probably still do, because even with that, it's still not a cheap outing, but more affordable. I mean, $6.72, we're paying more than that in some pubs. You're still paying more than that if you go to Other Half in New York City. Now, granted, you're getting an Other Half beer instead of a Miller Lite.
That's true.
So, a little different case there, but.
And these are the cheapest pours. Like, this is based on the cheapest pour. So they will have the cheap, whether it's Miller Lite or Bud Light or Coors or whatever. They are good. A lot of these venues are going to have something crafty, something from the local area. I've seen at some venues where they'll have tall boy cans, which is always fun to see. But
yeah,
man, those are pricey. Those are frequently like $15 cans or $14. I seem to remember those being really, really like, if I weren't listening to a band right now or watching whatever I'm watching, there's no way I'd pay this, but because I'm doing this and I'm an idiot, I'm going to pay this amount for this beer. You know
what I think could go well? What about a dad beer corner, a dad beer kiosk at that? You've got Hams. You got maybe, Heilemann's Old Style. You got a Hams. Oh, yeah. You got a Jenny Cream as well in there. Maybe get some Rainier. Bring us over some of those bottles of Rainier, but the dad beer kiosk. I bet at least for a while the novelty of that would do well.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah,
I can see that. Those beers I think would just kill it in sporting events. Absolutely. Those are so crushable, and as long as they're cold and they're flowing, that's an instant winner, Tim.
So this is a, Billy, another comment in the chat here. He said he paid $20 for a tall boy who went to the 311 concert. Then he clarified. He said, well, I paid $20 for several tall boys. I bet he's not talking. He got several for $20 there either. I would guarantee that's.
Oh, right. So he spent like $40 or $60 on
$300 had four beers. So that's it. That's it.
I think people figure this in as part of the experience. So like this experience is going to cost this much.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this amount of alcohol to go with it and the whole package deal. I think this is how people rationalize it, because I could see a premium on event beers, like a 30% increase or maybe in a 50, but like these are over 100% increases on what these beers would be. I don't see a valid excuse for it, or honestly it keeps me from buying more than one if I even get one, depending on how much they are and what they are.
It falls into the because they can thing there, I bet there's a lot of calculation that goes into how much can we charge for tickets? How much can we charge for food? How much can we charge for beer that's still going to pack the stadium and people are still going to buy this stuff? You want people that don't just show up, but come out and spend money on things there. So, you definitely have to balance all that out, man. Or, you know, Arthur Blank with his is probably pack them in, man. Let's make it affordable. Because to your note, Brian, if they're the beers are cheaper, people can buy more. They feel better about buying another one, you know?
Sure.
If you're going up and you're dropping that $9.76, $12, $15.36 or whatever, you may say, I don't know if I need another one there. So, of course, there'll be people that just doesn't stop them. They just run through it. You know, they'll be like Billy at a 311 concert. Brian.
That's right. So $20 beers all around. I'm buying. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, interesting stuff, man. Interesting stuff. You know, we do have a few other comments here. You know, going back, it looks like I think we got, you know, we got a vote for Hams here in the chat. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, Hams may get the love there, but
interesting stuff, maybe we could do the thing where you put the hot sauce over all over top of the Hams. Then I might pay $20 for it.
Was there more to it than that? I feel like there was, but I don't. What was
it? Might have been
called?
Like paprika on it or something like that.
I forget. Probably tahine, maybe,
or something like that. Yeah, it was a bar that had been in Chicago for a long time, and it closed down a year or two ago. And I
can't
remember the exact specifics of it. Gosh. But yeah, when you got the can of Hams, it was doused on the top of it, was just yep. layered thick with hot sauce. So it basically, if it didn't get all over the place, it didn't belong in your face, was their kind of their concept, like the burger. So they sold more Hams in that one location than any other mm-hmm. place in the state. I remember that specific. So Hams must be hurting when they closed.
I think that that we dove into that. We found that during my Midwest Michelada phase there. So when I was drinking the Bloody Marys and the Micheladas and that was something that we found there. The red beer. And then that Hams from up there. I don't even remember what all it was, but it looked disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
But it was also something I'm like, okay, I want to try that. It looks messy. Looks messy, but entertaining. What I don't support, Brian, is those Bloody Marys that have like a cheeseburger and then a chicken wing on top of them. That's just insanity. That's just unnecessary, is what it is.
It depends on how hungry I am, because maybe I want a Bloody Mary, but I kind of secretly also want a cheeseburger.
But if they're putting a burger, either your Bloody Mary is going to be too warm or your burger is going to be cold and soggy. That's my thinking. Put my burger on a plate. Let's be reasonable about all this and give me my Bloody Mary.
So, might if they pour the Bloody Mary like around and an arc around the burger and give you a straw to, or maybe like a dipping container for the Bloody Mary.
Do it like a crawfish boil, like just put a plastic tarp down and just dump it all on the table.
That's right.
A trough of Bloody Mary there.
A bucket of Bloody Mary and just burgers bucket, floating in it trough. And pickles and chicken wings. Yeah, that's
fantastic. This is a terrible idea. This is a terrible idea. Well, guys, I think that's all we got for this week. Yeah. Good times. Good times. That's I've enjoyed my beers, man. This Mortal Wombat's nice, and Beeps is always a good one. So good stuff. We are going to be, we do have a couple of events coming up. So we definitely encourage you, if you're around the area or you want to come to the area, come hang out with us. We will be at the Atlanta Cask Ale Tasting at Bold Monk Brewing on the 20th. So you can come hang out with us there. We'll be doing a show. Then we're details confirmed by next week, but on the 27th of January, we are going to be doing a show with our friends at Truck and Tap over in Duluth. We've actually got some pretty big plans for this one. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, but we're nailing it down, and we'll definitely get you the deets. We'll get you the deets. We'll put them on the socials and all that. But anyhow, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We hope you have a good week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.